Blog Talk Radio.
Gracious, that's our boy Derek Lawrence here on Solar Records Radio, and we are being blessed today because we have that brother here on the show today. So just kick back, relax, and enjoy the show as we are going to have a good time chopping it up with our brother Derek Lawrence here on Solar Records Radio. Much love to all you guys, all our brothers and sisters around the world, and God bless you and keep you, and I hope you guys are well and good to go. Oh, man, I got my boy Don Fleming on the line. Let me see if I can turn his mic on. Don, are you there, my brother?
I am here. I am here. Actually, I am in the kitchen right now, but I am supporting the show from the kitchen.
Oh, amen, brother. How you been, man? You good?
I've been good, man. I've been good. It's Wednesday. Hopefully everything is going great your way. Everything's going okay my way. So, hey, let's jazz this place up.
All right. Cool beans. Well, you know, it's time to bring our special guests in. And so let's get right down to it. Derek Lawrence, are you there, my brother?
I hear the calling.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
There you go. What's up, Derek? There's my buddy Don Fleming and Derek.
What's
and
up, Don?
Boy.
Hey, Derek. Big fan, man. Big fan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, my brother.
No doubt. No doubt. Glad you could be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are. And, man, that first song, man. What? Tell us about that first song. Whoa, that was pretty slick there. What's up with that?
Well, basically, when I sat down and wrote Hear the Calling, I was trying to get a deal with Verizon or somebody when I sat down and put that. I knew, you know, 3D was coming outside. Well, and 5D, that's what it was, the 5G. And I was like, well, shoot, I need to write a song about, you know, hearing a clearer sound on my phone. So that's how I came with Hear the Calling. But
okay.
It didn't work. I guess they ignored that one.
Well, you know, a lot of times they, you know, they just miss out, you know, because sometimes, you know, like these bigger companies, you know, they get so busy and get caught up in so much stuff that they don't pay attention to everything that's coming through. And then they go, man, what? That came through here. We missed it. So
right,
it's all good.
Right.
It's all good, man. So, man, I want you to just kind of tell us a little bit about how you got started. Tell us about your show. Your music. How did you get started with your music?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the show because I will get back to that, because I'm going to be starting a cooking show here pretty soon. So I'm going to be combining that with my music.
All right.
But how I got started was basically music really wasn't the front, you know, of me thinking of what I wanted to do. Basically, I wanted to be a pro football player my whole life, from birth all the way up until I had my fifth knee surgery. So it was like I tried out for so many teams. You know, I was hearing the different things. You're a good player. You're too short to play linebacker. You know, so it was like I kept trying. And then one day I had my last knee surgery. And the doctor told me that I wouldn't be able to play anymore because I don't have any more cartilages in my leg. And I was like, and I was sitting in the bed and I was like, Lord, what am I going to do now? You know, it's like,
oh,
I've been singing all my life. I've been singing in church. You know, my family, most like all families, we grew up singing in church. My grandfather's a jazz player. His name is Paul Wesley Wheaton. He played with Count Basie's orchestra, George Benson.
Wow.
Montgomery. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. So I know the Montgomery family, Wes Montgomery, Bobby Montgomery, you know.
Wow.
So we all grew up. That's where I grew up, in Indianapolis, in Jacksonville now. But after so many football injuries, I decided, I was laying in the bed one day, and I tell people this story all the time because it was so true, because it scared me. And I actually said, Lord, what am I going to do now? And I never expected to hear an answer, you know, because you always say, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, why this happened? And I have never heard anything. You know, I just thought it was a habit. So I actually was laying in the bed, and I said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? And I promise you, I heard him say, you've been singing all your life. And I think that was probably in early 80s when I heard that. And from that point on, I've been singing now over maybe for a profession now over 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for a living. Ever since that day, I went straight for it. I never thought about recording until that day. And then from that point, I went straight forward. That was it. I figured I was too heavy, you know, to be a singer at that time because, like I said, I wanted to play football. So I was like, well, I know I can sing, and I love Luther, so, and I'm kind of big. So I think what I should do is go ahead and maybe try to Luther Vandross tribute to start out to get my name out there. And that's
right,
what
right.
I did. I started doing that, and I was blessed, and I happened to meet a lady by the name of Anne Marie Sinatra, and she was actually Frank's niece, and she introduced me to the crowd up in Buffalo, New York, doing the Luther Vandross tribute, and I did that for years. Yeah, for years, all the way up until 96 when Disney saw the show, and they brought me to Jacksonville, Florida, doing the tribute.
What?
Yep, that's how I got down here to Florida. Disney brought me here in 96 doing the tribute. And then I started performing. Yep, I started performing on the cruise ships. Then I started working on the B.B. King's cruise ship, Blue Ship. I do that every now and then. So it's like music is just a passion for me now. It's like I don't want to let it go. You know, it's like no matter what I do, and everybody tells me, you're a great cook, and you should do this, and music is so hard, and why are you doing this? And everybody can't do it, even though everybody tries, and even though there's people hired that shouldn't be hired, but everybody tries to do music, but you can't, everybody can't do it.
Right.
And when you feel it, you know when you're doing something right. You know it. It's just, you can't stop. You know, it's like you were playing the song, one of my opening songs, and I'm in a dance like I had never heard a song before, singing with it. You know, thinking about the background, thinking about the harmonies, thinking about the fake voice machine. I had to push the button so I could hit them high notes. You know, about all that. You know, all the way it was created, and then it comes together and it just sounds beautiful. And it's like it doesn't matter if anybody else doesn't get the point. You know what you did, and you knew the way it sounded first. You knew how it sounded first. You knew what was wrong, what shouldn't have went in there. You knew some of the stuff you left in there after that you thought wasn't going to sound right. And see, nobody understands that, but you do. And if you if you make music for the public, then you're going to die by the public. If you make music for yourself, if you make music for yourself, you're going to always enjoy it no matter what. I've downloaded songs from Spotify. I've downloaded Luther, Kim. I've downloaded every male vocalist you could think of. And I've had myself in the playlist and had the nerve to be skipping some of my songs, you know, like to get today's songs. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. Let me put mine in the mix and see how my stuff sounds in their mix. So I'm driving down the street and all of a sudden my song comes on. And I'm like, okay, hey. Well, shoot. Okay,
that works.
That's it. Yeah, there that works go. For me, too. You know, then you wonder, why am I not in the mix? It's not why you're not in the mix. It's just your time will come when it comes, no matter if you're 80, 8, 18, 20. If you're in the business, you had some excitement somewhere, sometime in your life.
Amen,
and that's
brother.
What you got to live off of. You got to live off of the... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to quickly add, man, because you talk about that's the beauty of being a musician and listening and being appreciative to your final product, because I'm not trying to come to this in a vain sort of way. It's that a lot of people that love your music, that love these artists, they don't really know, you know, how the sausage is made. They don't know the grueling nights and all of the things that you had to write, all the papers you balled up and threw in the trash, you know, in a,
so many.
Appreciating that final product, man. Again, when you're saying you're dancing to your own music, man, that's just a testament to that final product, because you personally, you knew what you went through to make that song.
Yeah.
You know, so I just wanted to add that, man.
I appreciate that.
Talking about that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, it's like you said, you hear a song on the radio and you dance to it, and then you play a song. If you don't dance to your own song, what you doing?
Right.
That's not the right thing for you to be doing. Shoot. You know, it's like I can't fix a car, so you're not going to see me out there, you know, turning wrenches and hurt my knuckles and stuff. What about if you're a mechanic and you can sing? No, I'm a cook. Maybe I'll sing and cook, but I won't sing and try to fix your car while I'm singing.
Wow.
But it's like you appreciate the fact that you have people that will listen to your music, but there are people listening to a lot of music, a lot of music. So you can't sit there and go, why don't I have the big crowd like Gregory Porter? Why don't I have a following like him? You know, there's a lot put into that. So you got to enjoy what you have and who is paying attention to you. When I got the email and the call from you guys, it was like I was selected for a Grammy. That's how I felt. I felt like I'm being interviewed. Come on. I mean, they don't have to take their time to do that for me. Who am I? I'm nobody. But the fact that you heard me out there trying to promote myself without forcing it, without pushing it on anybody, and you gave me the chance to be on your show, that meant a lot to me.
Amen,
and I appreciate
God.
You.
You got it, man. I want to. What year was that when you were?
Don't try to get that. Don't try to get that. You try to get my age. So you trying to sneak. You trying to sneak and ask me my age. I know what you're trying to do.
I don't care about that. I'm trying to get to a question. But before I ask the question, I want to ask you, what year was that Disney called you to come up?
96.
Come down?
1996.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let me get to this question. And so can you tell us about the 2010 American Artist of the Year of the Decade? How were you involved in that?
That was
in 2010.
You from the BMI or from the which one?
Well, the question is just the 2010 American Artist of the Year of the Decade. I mean, so I don't know. This is coming from overseas. So I don't know which one. I just know it was 2010. Was that something that happened in 2010?
If it's the 2010, the only thing I can think of was the
American Artist of the Decade.
Oh, I know what that is. Okay, yeah, that was just a songwriting contest. That's what that is. It was a songwriting contest.
Okay, and how did that affect you?
Well, to be honest
how'd you get involved in it?
Oh, when I was in, with the time I was in Billings, Montana, there was a group called Creative Talent Artists, and that they had a competition that you got to go and do commercials, and audition for commercials for Disney commercials, and also for like movie roles. So what I did was, I was supposed to read my a script. We were supposed to write a script to be elected. And what I done, I sung mine as a jingle. It was a Hershey's commercial. I was supposed to write a Hershey's commercial, and I sung it like Luther Vandross would. That's how I got there. Hershey's, the great American chocolate bar. And so when I did that, everybody else in the competition had read the commercial. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to read it because I don't feel like stumbling, none of that. I said, but I can sing it. And so when I sung it, it was like nobody else has done it. So that's how I won the competition. And they paved my way to go all the way to South Carolina for the competition.
Wow. You just getting paid. They just taking care of you.
They took care of me. Yeah, like I said, but like you said, stuff don't last long, so you gotta enjoy the little bitty things that you have done. Music has taken me so far, man. My career started in Billings, Montana. Believe it or not, Billings, Montana. I left Indianapolis, Indiana, in '85 to go live with my uncle in Montana. He was the district manager of UPS. And I told him I was, you know, tired of the area I was living in. All my friends was the same way. And he said, well, I tell you what, you come and live with me in Montana, get your life together, get away from this. When I got to Montana, we drove down the street. That day we pulled in, I seen a college. And I thought it was a semi-pro football team. And I had on a suit. And I was like, Uncle Ron, take me over there. And so when I went over there, I got out and I was like, is this a pro football league? He said, no, it's a NAIA. Division One College. And I was like, I had never heard of that. I have never heard of NAIA. That's why I think every student, like a black student, white student, whatever color you are, you should go live opposite where you grew up at, because I didn't know anything about that, a NAIA school. And I lived in Indianapolis, Indiana, never heard of it. I didn't know that there's no age limit. There's no age limit. You can play football 36 years old.
What?
You can go to college. Yes, NAIA schools, Division One. You can still play college football and be 32, 40. There's no age limit.
Wow.
So imagine me going there at 25 years old after trying to play football at all these top places, and now here's a chance for me to go to college and play football, and I'm in my mid-20s.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. So I got to, you know, different culture. I got up there. There was a band called the Black and White Affair. And it was a Mexican group, and they had a white drummer, and they needed a lead singer. That's how it happened. And my uncle told me about him. He used to go watch him. And I was like, well, I'll go check him out. I had never heard reggae music before. This was the first time I heard reggae in 85.
How old were you? Well,
there you go, trying to speak and get to. No, I don't mind telling my age now. I don't mind telling my age now because either I'm going to keep going or I'm done. So it don't matter.
Right,
so I was doing a different thing.
Right,
and I was 25 years old in 85.
Okay.
So that's when I first started singing. I hadn't heard reggae music. I was the only black guy from Washington, between Washington, Utah, and Seattle. And Vegas. That's how I got into Vegas. I started singing reggae music up in Montana with this band. I was a black lead singer. It was a mixed band. We was doing Earth, Wind, and Fire. We was doing disco, hip-hop, reggae, and I was the only most of the black singer in that area. So I got booked so much. That's how it started. And it was like, wow, this ain't enough for me. You know, everybody else was like, I have a home. I live in Montana, dude. We ain't trying to go to Vegas and stay. I went for Vegas. Dude, it took me to Hawaii. I done seen the president's head, underground caves. I saw the reenactment of the Indians and, you know, Clark, whatever his name is, I can't think of because right now I'm talking so much, all the stuff is coming back to me. But I had never seen Indians before, none of that, man. So it was like I got all this through music.
Wow.
I went to Chico Hot Springs. I saw snow in July coming down and sitting in the hot tub, 200 degrees water coming from a mountain. And I'm sitting in the snow. I'm sitting there watching snow come down. And I'm thinking, this is all because I'm singing. I'm not lifting nothing. My hands got lotion on them. I'm not, you know, clocking in nowhere. I'm just singing. And I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, starting off, it was just, what, $100 a piece a night? You know, but $200 a week in 85 singing. I mean, $200 a night, and you making $400 for the weekend in 85 was some good money. People might not think that. Yeah, singing, and you make $400, and all you do is sing on Friday and Saturday?
Yep.
They pay in your hotel. They feeding you, and you got the tip bucket. Why not think of this before? Why not think of being a singer before? You know, I always was just afraid, though. I was always afraid that people would look at me and say I was too heavy, and I'm like, well, look at these. You know, so then I started losing weight, and I was like, oh, I can dance now. This is I didn't want to turn my back from that point on, my man.
Why did you start losing weight? Because you were playing football?
Well, no. The reason why I really started losing weight was because of my age. You know, I was gaining too much weight. It was just like, and, you know, as I got older, it was like, you know, I started slimming down even more.
Right.
I started eating different. I started losing weight when I got to Florida. That's when I started eating more fish. You know, the warm weather, I could exercise more. You know, there was no snow in December. It was like I was playing in 90
degree
weather.
Florida, huh?
Well,
you love it there.
Well,
we'll
talk about that. We'll see what happened to DeSantis first, and then we'll see.
Lord, don't mention DeSantis, Lord.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I'm embarrassed to say I'm living there, but it's okay, you know.
Wow.
Yes, I say wow, too. I say wow every morning. But the thing that surprises me, though, and this is, I'm not trying to be conceited or anything. The part that I don't understand is, what am I missing in my introductory letter? I don't get it. I know, you know, it used to be a big thing when we mailed out promo packages, that letter had to be popping. You know, the letterhead had to be popping. Now it's like my talent has gotten better, but it's like the contact has got less. And I don't know if it's I know COVID slowed down a lot because I was at the, you know, Miami casino booked for a whole month, 3 and 4 months at a time, cruise ships 3, 4 months. I understand that. But when stuff came back around, now this is, I'm not saying everywhere. I'm just saying Florida, okay, because that's where I'm at. Now, I don't know if it's just Florida or it seems to be a turn like nobody wants to either book good entertainment because they either think it costs too much and they don't want to check, or it doesn't matter as long as people are coming in and eat. That's where it's
well,
starts.
Well, you know, you
got to
look at it like this. You know, a lot of times with entertainment, you know, they've taken our career and made it into whatever they wanted to make it into. And so they will have people come in that could sound similar to you, or, you know, just they're okay,
right,
but they're just filling the void. It's like there's a void there. We need to have our entertainment back. And they'll put these rookies up there that will take anything. And they'll have these, you know, they'll have the sampled music in the background. They have everything
mm-hmm.
that's cheap, and they're not getting paid anything hardly. And they just,
right.
they're just like DJs that are just, you know, pushing the music button. And so, and that's really sad because we hurt because of that. So many of us are sold out. Like I have friends that, oh man, I sold 2 tracks. I said, you sold? What do you mean you sold 2 tracks? Yeah, so
right.
I said, so for $500, you gave the guy your music. It's done. He said, yes. Yeah,
right.
Wow, I can't believe you're doing that, man. And
wow.
and but what happened is that he just kind of just went with, I taught the guy how to produce. And so he was making great money. And then when things got tight, he went with the flow. People were saying, hey, we're just buying tracks now. We need to get some tracks from you. And now he's down to $50 a track.
Oh,
what?
No.
See,
no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy what's happening with these kids, and you know, he's probably about 25 years younger than me, but it's still, you just don't do that. You selling yourself out, and we have to really be careful with that. I you know,
you're
we
right.
can keep going on. We can keep going on that. Let me just
let me say something on that though before you go.
Okay.
Like you said,
okay.
the problem that we got going on now with the Hall and Oates. One wants to sell, and the
right.
other one don't want to sell the catalog because he knows down the line there's more money to be made.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. It's
and
ugly.
That's just like people keep forgetting how important music is. What's the first thing they do before the game? The national anthem. They sing that. What's the first thing you do at a birthday party before you cut the cake? You sing happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And you can't ignore that. But like you said, they want to do that too. Oh, that's not important. Or we want to hire a 30,000 big old band, you know, which you want to stop hiring. No, you need to hire musicians. We don't need to have two a horn player and a track. I mean,
right.
yeah, if that's all, you know. No, that's why I think I stopped. I'm like, if you want to hire me, everybody's like, oh, well, we can hire you solo and you can use some tracks and forget about the band. Yes. Well, yeah, that's when I started off like that. But then I realized you can't sit there and perform with tracks 4, 5, 6 years in a row and then turn
right.
around and call the musicians and expect them to come and play for you. Oh, Mr. Tracks need a drummer now. Okay.
Mr. Tracks need a bass player.
Well, can I give you $50 to play? No. How much you getting? You getting $5? We want $5 too.
Exactly.
And they deserve it. And they
Absolutely.
Deserve it. So that's, like you said, that's what's messed up. That's why it's like, you know, everybody's like, well, why can you don't come out and just play in the clubs? Then I would love to do that, y'all, but I want to be with a band. I want to be at a festival. I want to be, I want to be on the jazz festival. I ain't never got to play a major jazz festival yet. I've played jazz festivals, but, I've played on the cruise ships. But I can't even, Jacksonville has jazz festivals. Not one time have they looked my way. But like I said, I'm not complaining. It's just a fact I'm trying to figure out what is it you're looking for. Because my name is, nickname is not the many voices of Derek Lawrence for a reason. It's like I can sing whoever you want me to sing, from Doobie Brothers to Bob Marley.
Don?
But like I said, if it wasn't for you guys, we still wouldn't shine, though. You still got to have the air personality. You can't cut that out. Quit trying to cut out the air personality, and you're sitting up here putting on your own YouTube shows, and you don't know what you're doing.
Don't get me started on that subject. I'm just saying, I always, just let people know I just have a problem. I'm not really a big fan of podcasts.
I've
been trained at this, for, 25 years, when it came to, radio and TV. So, when someone comes in and just, but anyway.
But you can't, you can't keep ignoring the air personalities. Every year you got to have an air personality. I don't care what the world turns into. If it turns into a robot, he better be an air personality too.
No, you talked about Hall & Oates, man. It reminded me of a story, as far as investment in the long run, the long game, playing chess instead of checking. It reminded me of a young brother by the name of, if you guys remember, Jason Weaver. Jason Weaver played little Michael Jackson in the Jacksons. He voiced the singing voice of Simba in The Lion King. And they gave him an option in 1994 and say, hey, we'll give you $2 million up front, and, that's it. And or you can do $200,000, and you can get, the residuals and all of these things, whatever. The mom was like, we'll take the $200,000.
Yeah.
Right now, he's still getting paid. 1994 was 29 years ago. He set for life, and that's the beauty of understanding, having your masters, understanding the music industry, when they say it's a music business, little M, big B, the business is capitalized in music. And to take advantage, you have to know the B part, the capitalized B part. And understanding, and it's an investment in the long run. And I love the way you said that, man. And it just reminds me again. It reflects on the substance of your music, man. We go back to the music. But again, we can tell by listening to your songs, man. It's like you understand the power of music, but the power of investing in that music in the long run. So
thank you for seeing that in me. I appreciate that. I really do.
Amen.
I really do.
You deserve it.
So I want to take a small music break, and then we'll be back. I want to play a song. If you want to share a little bit about the song, Forget About You. Is there something you want to share about that before we play it?
Well, I really do. That song was a long time in the making because, I didn't mention this either. I had made it to like the fourth round on auditions for the Voice, and one of my fiancés was with me at the time, and we were dating, and she forgot to pick me up at the she forgot to pick me up at the airport, and she was at the airport drunk, and I'm standing outside. Yeah, I'm standing outside, and I missed my audition, standing in the raincoat. And from that whole time, that's always been on my mind. And I thought, everybody's like, you got to forget stuff, you got to let it go. That is one thing that I could never let go. So I've been trying my best to forget about that. So it's like, that's when I came up with the song.
All right.
Because I didn't know what, you know, I never knew what would have happened if I made that, you know. So it's like, you've been through so much stuff, and it's like you got the good parts and the bad ones. And that song was the bad, what gave me the inspiration.
Wow. All right, let's take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. D-E-R-R-Y-C-K.
Y-C-K. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Because I thought I saw you, and it's just different. So, but anyway, I've got to make sure I got it right. D, do you have any more questions?
Man, I just want to know, you know, I know we're transitioning into, you know, from singing going into the whole cooking thing. What similarities or what traits you picked up going through the music that you kind of channeled through cooking?
To be honest with you, I always love cooking too, just the same way as football. It's just that mm-hmm. I never I never really, I just only cooked for the family, and you know, it was just a family thing, and just to see the pleasure on everybody's face. And to be honest with you, it's now a pleasure, and it's something that I want to try. Plus, it's a passion, and of course, it's an easy way of the money's being made now. You know, it's not the same way it used to be. You can generate it. You know, you can generate by followers, and so it's not like I'm going to sit there and go, oh, I'm against all that. It's like, you know, it's just another way to make money while you sleep. And that's what I'm trying to develop, making money while I'm asleep.
I love that. Thank you.
Okay.
After I got to doing the research on that, I was like, oh, Lord, okay, wow. Okay, people said singing is hard. No, singing ain't hard. Is this filming these cooking, you know, these cooking episodes and these different angles? And no, it's nothing like that, you know. So it's something for me to learn. It's new. It keeps my mind fresh. It's something to keep me, you know, something to think about. You know, it's like, okay, what should I do next? How can I improve this? And it's like, what I really want to do is show the people how to make the food. And then I want to have the food served to people at the end of the show while I'm doing a free concert.
Mm.
So that's my concept on it. Yeah, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to prepare the food.
I can dig that.
Yeah, then I'm going to, you know, invite some couples over at a time and sit out on the, you know, at the patio, and I'll serve them the dish that I prepared, and I'll do a concert, a couple songs for them.
Don's coming. Don is going to be there.
I'm definitely going to invite both of you. Yeah, kind of like what Greg Reporter's doing. You know, Greg Reporter's doing a little something like that. But he sings, but he really doesn't combine too much of his music. So, see, this way I want to do it to where that after I perform, you know, fix the food, then you'll see him set up where the people are sitting at the table. I'll hire some people to serve them, you know, with the coats on, the chef coats and the rags, and I'll perform while they're doing close-ups on the people eating the food, and, you know, show them dancing and stuff, you know.
Yes, sir.
And if the food is nasty, you still got to, you know, act like it's good on your face, and then you can talk about it after we say cut.
You know what, Derek? You know what's funny? And I got to ask this since you brought it up, because I know it's probably like picking your favorite finger, which is odd, but what is your favorite go-to dish?
Oh, you ain't even going to believe this. I got two.
Okay, two.
Chicken sausage chili.
Man.
And, wait a minute, chicken sausage chili and pea balls.
And what?
You better stop.
Pea balls. You don't know nothing about that. Pea balls.
I don't.
That's one of my my recipes.
I don't know anything about that. What is that?
Yeah, it's just like, okay, what it is, you get your can of peas, peas. A can of peas, like, you know, peas that you eat.
Oh, can of peas, yeah.
Peas in the can. You drain the water. You add some onions. Some crackers, a little sugar, some more seasoning, roll them up into a little egg, roll them up in a ball, and you fry them like hush puppy.
I'm telling you.
Some
creative people.
And if you don't mind, if I could throw the plug in on the name of the show right quick.
Throw the plug
in.
Throw it in. Throw it all
in. The name of the show is going to be called Nuttin' Batizers.
What?
Nothing but tizers. Tizers,
wow.
Like appetizers. Nothing.
Oh.
Okay. Nothing but B-U, leave the T off. Nothing but B-U and then tizers.
Wow, look at this.
And
boy.
I'm gonna be showing you different appetizers that I've created.
Nice.
Okay.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Cheesy grits with bacon in it and sausage and shrimp.
Oh, shut your mouth.
He said, I've definitely got to give y'all an invitation, huh?
Yeah, cheesy. I love my cheesy.
With Parmesan, jalapeno pepper, cornbread. Mm-hmm.
See,
let
Matt,
me
jalapeno pepper
up.
Cornbread.
Let me give you my go-to right quick. I want to give you. I don't know if you ever heard. See, I'm kind of a big guy too. You know.
Okay. Okay.
Wardell always teases me because I cook, and you know, if I do a show and Wardell's doing a show with me, Wardell does a block, and then everyone kind of knows. He kind of tells the old listeners that I'm going downstairs and cook something to eat. But if you guys remember, there was a restaurant called Johnny Carino's. And
I used to work for Johnny Carino's.
Oh, okay.
I used to work for him.
It's an Italian restaurant. Man, small world, but I'm about to tell you my go-to. I learned how to make it homemade probably about 15 years ago. It's called Schillettini. Chicken and sausage Schillettini. I learned how to make that. That's my go-to. Every time my family comes up, and my mother came up, God rest her soul, when she would come up, that's what they ask for when they come up to visit.
Wow. Dude, you just made me say a bad word on the radio. Blow. Wow. They have the best. Yes, Johnny Carino's the best combinations. You are so right. I remember Johnny Carino's. Yes.
Lord.
Yeah.
Well, that's your go-to dish?
That's my go-to dish. Among others, but that's my go-to when my family comes
That's a good one right there.
They'd be like, what's that fried spaghetti you be making? You know, they come
fried
like, what's
spaghetti.
That fried spaghetti? You know, so.
That thing was delicious. Boy, I remember that.
Well, this was really good.
You took it to a different realm, Wardell. I'm sorry, man.
No. It's good. I love it. This is awesome,
dude. I make me want to call y'all every day. What's up, fellas? What are we doing today, too? who we listening to today, y'all?
Yeah?
That's
let me
awesome,
ask,
bro.
I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you shortly. My page just went away as soon as I was about to read it, because I'm reading it from the internet. It's a question for you, the listeners. Let's see.
You always do that, Wardell.
Okay. I can't help it because I'm using my cell phone as the internet access, because my other computer is too far away. I hate straining, so I'm using my cell phone. I can move it right into my eyes.
Okay, I got a question for you then. We wait. Are you ready?
I'm ready with the question.
Go ahead.
You can ask your question first because I got mine written down.
How old were you when you started playing drums?
13.
Okay.
12,
okay.
12, 13, yeah, yeah. 12,
okay,
13.
Okay.
How do you know I played drums?
Oh, I do my research. Don't worry about it. I got to know who's asking me questions, too. I want to know who's asking me questions, too. He might be really the government. You know, change the name.
Oh, that's right. Let me see.
He had a little accent, too.
You guys are funny. Honey, well, what state are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Went to Broad Ripple High School.
You and Don getting close. Y'all are close.
Yeah, I was down there with Babyface in there.
Okay.
And Vivica Fox. Yeah,
that's right. Wow, I didn't know Vivica was from there. Wow, okay. All right. So
West Montgomery?
Yeah. At the time you recorded Inside You was the time you found your identity. What happened
that changed
things?
Well, Inside You?
Yes. What actually happened?
Well, I had just started dealing with different type of music. I had never, you know, I started performing classic rock. Like I said, I started doing the reggae, and it was like, I wasn't really catching the audience I wanted to do.
Okay.
So it was like I had never did like a it was my first slow song or romantic song. But it was supposed to have been a slow song, but I did it fast. That's how it started off. It was wrote as a slow song. And so I decided to do it as a fast song, and it was supposed to have been a ballad.
Okay. All right. So, Don, in closing.
Yes.
You want to ask a question in closing before we I'm going to ask him to make sure he gives us contact information for people that want to support his career and all that kind of stuff.
That's a given. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
a given. Let me ask this quick question, of course, before we let you go and everything. I wanted to kind of usually when you know we interview artists and post pandemic, you know, a lot of artists kind of take up a good, and again, we kind of dawned on it earlier, but I just, for all the listeners who are just tuning in or whatever, I just want to go ahead and ask this question. Since the pandemic, a lot of artists kind of tapped into other things and other kind of hobbies. Like we talked to Shirley Jones from the Jones Girls. She got a green thumb. She started planting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise Williams. You remember what Denise Williams? Look, I'm not name dropping. I was just asking Wardell. He's like, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
You know what hobbies was she doing? I'm trying to. What hobby did she pick up?
What did she pick up?
But Derek, seriously. Well, during the pandemic, man, I understand. You know, enhancing. You know, reaching out on that creativity other than music. What did you kind of do to kind of pass the time during that pandemic?
I came up with I just started a clothing line.
Oh,
wow.
I started a clothing line. I thought you were going to mention more cooking, but okay. Don't talk a little bit about that, man.
The clothing line started, it's been going on my second year coming up. So that machine is starting to, thank you. That machine is starting to roll by itself now, and I got in a program called the International Distribution Program, where is it that designer clothes like Gucci, Versace, and all the people. See. So what I did was when I got my pandemic money, I invested it in Gucci stock and Versace stock. So when everybody's like, well, you know, if you don't want to support my clothing line, it's no problem, because you want to sit there and spend $700 on Gucci, you still support me because I bought Gucci stock. That's what I did with my money. While you was out buying Gucci shoes, I bought Gucci stock. So that's why. So now it's like I have my own clothing line, Musicians Lives Matter. I have a brand that for that. For DJs, dancers, just, you know, entertainers, Life Matter, I have that. So it's like that's what I decided to do. It was hard at first because I knew, you know, most people start a clothing line that they're successful musicians or whatever, and that's why people start buying that stuff. I did it because I wanted to show people that don't know how to dress how they should dress. You know, how men, you can't be 64 years old and still sagging unless you're in prison, I don't think. But I started a No Sagging Nation for the younger dudes. You know, for younger dudes, I started a No Sagging Nation, little guys wearing bow ties, stuff like that. So I just wanted to show men a different way to dress besides,
damn,
you know, the way we were dressed. So I did that during the pandemic.
Okay.
So I got a lot on my plate.
There you go. Now, there's a website. Please remind the people, you know, what they can go to if they want to support you on that tip.
Okay, yes. Yeah. If you want to support me on my clothing line, the link for that is www.futurefashstyle.com.
Futurefashstyle, okay.
Futurefash, yeah, like fashion, but just fast. Futurefashstyle.com.
All right.
And there, like I said, I got 70% off of designer stuff, 70% off of designer shoes, 70% off of Gucci, Versace, all that stuff. Even my own brand is there, too.
Wow. There you go, brother. Well, man, this has been an amazing honor for us to have you on today. Thank you so much for taking and giving us your hour. Yeah,
it was a pleasure to be able to do this. Trust me, it took a lot of stress off of me because it gave me a chance to open up, and I really appreciate that.
Oh man, anytime, and make this your home. Come back and share some stuff with us. Let us know what you're doing when you're dropping something else, and if you're in the neighborhood, let's get together and have some appetizers.
Nothing but ties us.
That's right. Nothing but ties us. That's right. And so with that being said, I want to ask you about this last song as you're going out. Can you make it?
Can you make time?
Oh, yeah. Can you make time? Okay. I need to put time on there. All right. Yeah. So I got can you make. All right. So tell us about that song.
Well, I wrote this. This inspiration was because I know a lot of entertainers have problems with, making time for their significant other or for a son, mother, so this song is just to express how you need to listen to the person that's with you, because they might not always say it, but you can look in their eyes and see they want you to make time. So I was just imagining, if I was looking in somebody's eyes and the eyes were the lips and they were talking to me, asking me, can I make time? And I'm just answering, of course I can, for you, baby.
Hey, all right, dude. So in closing, and is there anything you want to say to the listeners as we're leaving?
Website, follow where we can follow you on Instagram or anything, all that social media stuff, man, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. All right. If you want to find my music, anywhere, all you got to do is look up Derrick Lawrence Project, Derrick Lawrence, Lawrence, Project. And that's for Instagram, Facebook, and any other site. My webpage is also the same. So that's where you can find all my music. And I already told you the Food Cup channel's coming out, Nothing But Tizers, and FutureFash.com.
Wow. Awesome,
and I want to thank you guys, and I want to tell all the listeners out there, it's that holiday season. Keep that stress level down. Remember that there's a person on your left and somebody's on your right, and we got to get this world together.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I want to thank Greg for bringing you on to us. Thanks, Greg, and much love to you, my brother.
I want to thank Greg, too, for introducing me to you. Appreciate it. I had a great time, fellas.
All right, guys. Likewise, man. You all take care. And here's your song right here on Solar Records Radio. All right.
Thank you.
Later on, guys.
Take care. Peace.
All right.
Later. 3 o'clock in the morning, and it looks like I'm still sleeping. Lord knows I'm tired, and I'm missing my baby. Driving me crazy. Seems like I haven't had a loving in so long. Then when she said to me, of course I can't want you, baby. And be the blood I breathe. Whispers of the kind of excellence, you hide in my knees. The song you begin to sing in my ear, bring me to my knees.
Of course I can't for you, baby.
Great song, and my goodness gracious, Don Fleming's getting ready to do a block, and that was Joe Levy, Love Me, and that's Love Me to My Soul, by the way. What a great song, and what a great interview. That was so much fun talking with our brother, Derek.
Derek Lawrence, man, what an amazing, artist, multi-talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, had a great conversation off the air. Had great conversation on the air. But I want to thank him for blessing the phone lines and hanging out with us today. We got about another 48 minutes left of the show. So you gonna give me this block?
I'm giving you four blocks. Now do your block, man. Do your block. Yes, you do your block. I love it when you do your block. So I'm going to set my mic off. I'm shutting it off. And let Don do his thing here with y'all. Is that good, Don?
I'm good. Well, you know what? We're ready for my girl to come back. You know, we had her on the show about a couple of years ago promoting her album, Kismet Green. Of course, that's Carlita Duran, beautiful young lady. Of course, I want to go ahead and start off the block. From that same album, this is called My Business. You guys keep it locked right here. Of course, it's Indie Blues and All That Jazz Wednesday. Keep it locked right here.
To worry about anything else but me and my life. This is too much going on and I have no room in my mind. Please remind me why I should care when you've never been there. I'll drink my water, coconut oil in my hair. Coconut oil in my hair. Coconut oil in my hair. One time for the business owners, one time for the graduates, one time if you're just trying to pay the rent. One time, one time. I just wanna be the mine. I just want a piece of mind. And I mind my business. Can I mind my business? I'm gonna mind my business. Can I mind my business? And I mind my business. Can I mind my business? I'm gonna mind my business. It don't cost a dime, no dollar, no fine. Take care of home, they don't have to know who you with, where you go, what you did, who you sexing, who you texting. I'll drink my water, coconut oil in my hair. Coconut oil in my hair. Coconut oil in my hair. One time for the lovers, one time for the self-love and care, one time for the hustlers, one time, one time. I just want a piece of mind. I just want a piece of mind. And I mind my business. I'm gonna mind my business. And I mind my business. Oh, I'm gonna mind my business.
Catch a kiss, say hi to go get it. Now we've grown up and there's more at stake. Between love and lust is complicated. I swear if you could love me through all my emotional crazy moods, I'll be the one that'll hold you down when the mother holds it, you're lonely. Ooh, if I choose to let down my guard, you gotta show me some security. Lonely. Ooh,
tell me that you're that one.
Tell me, baby.
is all I'm new.
I miss the love we were both sharing.
I swear if I could write for you, be there half my life with you. Love, take chances to treat you right. Fix what those other guys did. Come hand me your heart, I know what it wants.
Morning.
Tell me, baby,
is that you're my one?
You're listening to Solar Records Radio. Yes, indie blues and all that jazz. That was a completely indie soul block right there, Wardell. That's what I had to hook up. That's music from the Shindellas, new group, young ladies group formed in 2017, straight out of Nashville, Tennessee. They're beautiful young ladies, man. This amazing, very retro sound, too. It reminds me, of course, it's a little bit of that doo-wop, a little bit of female doo-wop thing, a little bit of that 80s sound. But this is brand new music from them called Ooh La La by the Shindellas. Before that, from 2015, Miss Teedra Moses, featuring Anthony Hamilton, that one, and of course started off the block from her Kismet Green album. Friend of the show, the lovely Miss Carlita Duran, name of the song is called My Business. We got about 34 minutes left of the show. I haven't played any blues yet, man. Did we play any blues on the show yet?
I was waiting for you to start the blues block.
You was waiting for me to start the blues block. What?
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Yeah.
We can keep this music going, man. We can keep this music going. You know, what did you think about that last song, though? Have
I
you heard it before?
Really? No, I never heard it before, and I thought it was really good. It had a nice groove. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean,
you
had a girl thing going in this last block. All girls.
I know, man. I know. I love women.
Hallelujah.
It's all well, you know what? I got a blues block for you. Let's go ahead and keep the music going.
Yeah.
On this blues block, classic Eddie Cleanhead Vincent. It's called Kidney Stew. Keep it locked right here, Solar Records Radio.
baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my baby. True little baby, my baby. My babe, I know she love me, my babe. Oh yes, I know she love me, my babe. Oh yes, I know she love me. She don't do nothing but kiss and hug me, my babe. True little baby, my babe.
Shotgun. Oh, I ain't gonna start a shooting again. Go bring me my shotgun. You know I just gotta start shooting again. Gonna shoot my woman, 'cause she's fooling around with too many men. Full of shells. Yes, go bring me my shotgun. Yes, man, in a pocket full of shells. Kill that woman. I'm gonna throw her in that old deep dug well. Hide her from everybody. They won't know what's yet. Thank you. said, now you is dare to try. I don't take a dare for nobody. She said, Lightning, you can't shoot me. She said, yes, and you dare to try. I said, the only reason I don't shoot you, little woman, my double barrel shotgun, it just won't fire.
You're listening to Solar Records Radio, Indie Blues and All That Jazz Wednesday. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr. Now, Wardell, let me ask you this before I do the replay of the songs. Was that a blues block or was that a blues block?
That's right, man. You were just you took us there, man. As a matter of fact, Don Fleming said, thank you for taking me back in the time. So, yes, okay. Yes.
I enjoy, and for those who don't know, my wife and I, shout out to Jill, you know, we volunteered at community radio a few years back, and, you know, they wanted a classic blues show. So my wife and I, you know, it's kind of like therapy, but it was it's a good thing. We hosted the show, her and me. Jill and I. But yeah, we hosted our own blues show every Monday from like 3 to 5 p.m. And this was the type of music we played. We played a lot of classic stuff. I mean, you know, Big Joe Turner, Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Led Zeppelin, Sonny Boy Williamson. You know, and I got intrigued to play, you know, or at least get a lot of these books about the Delta Blues and things like that. So I started reading them and learning a little bit more about, you know, even in 2009 standards, I think that's when we started, 2009 and 2010, you know, just being fascinated by the things that I didn't know. I knew the basic blues. I knew some classic blues. But to go in depth behind the history of, you know, of course you talk about the Mississippi blues, the Delta blues, you know, blues that was in Arkansas and Tennessee, not only just going up to Chicago, how Chicago, you know, became kind of like this blues bastion during the Great Migration, because a lot of people from Mississippi moved to Chicago. So, you know, all of these things, and let me do the recap. What you just heard, by the way, for all the listeners, Lightning Hopkins, played a lot of Lightning Hopkins, Bring Me My Shotgun. That's basically straight to the point. Bring Me My Shotgun. And, of course, before that, music from Little Walter, My Babe, and, of course, started off the block, gave you some classic blues from Mr. Eddie Cleanhead Vincent. Name song is called Kidney Stew. A lot of that, and again, a lot of that music to me was kind of that, it kind of, you know, of course you talk about the birth of rock and roll and you talk about all of these different genres of black music and what they call race music. But a lot of that blues, a lot of that sound was sped up. And the reason why rock and roll, the name of rock and roll was changed to rock and roll. You know, a lot of people credited Alan Freed, but during the Harlem Renaissance, a lot of black folks were saying it in the 1920s. They were saying rock and roll. But when you talk about someone like an Alan Freed, who kind of gave it that name because it was kind of, I'm not going to say whitewash. I'm just going to, it to me, it would appeal to the masses. For a lot of, you know, a lot of white people to listen to the music and without feeling guilty when people say, oh, why are you listening to race music? Because when you call it race music, that was a negative connotation to, you know, especially when it was white people that was listening to that music. So they didn't, I guess, to clear people's guilty consciences, I'm flooded for words. They use the term rock and roll. When you think about Big Mama Thornton recorded Hound Dog 3 years before Elvis did. And you think about the queen of rock and roll, the mother of rock and roll, Rosetta Tharpe, you know, how she was able to incorporate her sound, being from Arkansas, going to Philadelphia, doing what she did and knowing what she knew. And, of course, she was deemed as the mother of rock and roll. So your sister, Rosetta Tharpe, and then, of course, she got into gospel and whatnot, could play the heck out of that guitar. But I mean, all of these things were incorporated, and I learned that, and that was the beauty of learning, because I'm always ready to learn more about it. And again, man, that was just the tip of the iceberg as far as those three songs. That's a lot of those songs is what I played, what Jill and I played, and you know, everyone loved the show. You know, we argue on the air. But a lot of the commonality was that we were both lovers of blues music, and when we were able to host that show, it took us to a different plateau of trying to learn and go more in depth behind the history of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So,
what's the difference between blues and jazz? That's the question that came in.
Well, you know, it's almost jazz to me, and I don't know, you know, I'm just a jazz connoisseur. I think when you go back and you talk about just the instrumentation of jazz music, you know, it was out of the element of folk, because blues was derived from, you know, a lot of the folk music was derived from blues, which was derived from slave hymns. So a lot of that, to interpret that through instrument, just the instrumentation of those moments, of that feeling, it interpreted into jazz on a musical, on a instrumental setting. You know, it was no words, you know, yeah, jazz, there was really no words. But it was just the instrument's interpretation of those hymns, and it gave it more of a little. Some of it gave a more of a swing to it, a swing beat. So that's the thing. When you think about jazz and blues, they pretty much derive from kind of that same vestige. But the difference was that, you know, blues to me was more talkative, more folksy, giving you a vocal description of it, and jazz was from an instrumental perception or perspective.
Yeah. Amen. Well said. Thank you.
I really know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, Woody. I was just making stuff up. No, I'm joking. No. That's a great question, though. That is a great question, and thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Wow, we got 15, 16 minutes left in the show, and this has been a great show, and thank you for just being a great part of the whole show today. That was awesome that we got you for the whole show. Watch out. Don Fleming doing his thing here at Solar Records Radio. Tomorrow we celebrate. No, we don't. Tomorrow is Throwback Thursday. And we only have 20% chance of rain tomorrow. Today we had 40%, and it rained this morning, and it rained this afternoon. And it's actually drizzling right now. But tomorrow we only have 20% chance of rain. And then on Friday we have a 60 to 80% chance of rain. Here in the state of Texas, I'm quite sure Don Fleming's weather is the same as mine. He's right. He's directly above me. And so, so what was happening is that the weather comes from the west and it goes to the east. And so that's what I'm saying. His weather is probably just like mine. You know, the only difference would be temperature. What's the temperature up there, Don?
Oh, right now you're looking at, I got me the weatherman. You're looking at cloudy skies. High's going to be around 58 with a lows at 37 degrees. Currently right now you're sitting at 45 degrees in the city. You like that, didn't you?
Yeah, you did that well. I'm thinking I'm listening to the Weather Channel.
Don't stop.
Go ahead. Don't stop. So you're right funny. Now, right now it's 54 degrees. I think it's 55 degrees here. So we're like 10 degrees warmer than you. So that's the difference. The more southern you are, the closer to the equator you are, the warmer it is. Like in South Africa, it's summertime right now in South Africa. They are on fire over there. And so,
yeah.
So anyway, I'm just so grateful that you came and you hung out with us all day today. What a blessing it was. Tomorrow we're going to be doing Throwback Thursday. So come hang out with us. We're going to do our best to be our best and just kind of reminisce and go down those, memory lane. That's it. So we'll be doing that. And so anyway, Don, we got about 13 minutes left. What's on your mind?
No, man. Again, I just want to give a shout out to Derek Lawrence and being able to bless the phone lines and hang out. If I remember, check out some of his fashion line. What was it? A Fash? I'm so sorry. Oh God, he's got a fashion line. He's got the appetizer thing with the food and. But once we get it, we're gonna post it on the page and whatnot. But check out, guys, if you don't get a chance, if you're not able to listen live, check out the playback on Solar Records Radio. He's gonna Wardell posted it on the page, so you can just check it out and just tell us what you think.
Awesome. Well, so we're gonna close out, Don, I guess, and I guess I'll start this block off with. Unless you want to, but I'm going to go with Weather Report. So that's a little bit of progressive jazz. And so, and then we're going to close out. So in closing, I just want to thank all of our listeners. I want to thank Carl, my friend down in South Africa. God bless you, sweetheart. I had a wonderful time talking to you today. You are beautiful, a beautiful human being. God has really blessed you, and thank you for blessing me and giving me the opportunity to talk with you. I also want to say rest in peace to my friend Chris Galakis. He's the owner of a record company down there that I'm signed to, and he passed away on Saturday. So rest in peace, Chris. Yeah, I just found out, a couple hours before the show. So I did talk to his son, who's basically taken over, and and his son is going to take care of Chris's daughter. Yeah, he has a young daughter. And so we just pray that everything is well. Chris is fighting cancer. You know, the big C is kind of crazy. And he lost his battle Saturday night. So rest in peace, Chris. We love you. I love you. And I appreciate all the opportunities that you gave me when I was in South Africa the last time. Thank you, my brother. Blessing me. All righty, guys. So we're up and out of here. And y'all all take care of yourselves. And Don, anything else?
Man, again, thank you guys for tuning in. And we are out for Wardell Podge Jr. I'm Don Fleming. I'll play something after you, and we'll close it out. And we'll get up out of here. But we want to go ahead and say our goodbyes on the air. And make sure you tune in tomorrow. We got Wardell's Afternoon Drive, Throwback Thursday, 3 to 5 p.m. Also, you have my show, Throwback Thursday Night, from 8 to 10 p.m. So make sure you tune in. Eastern Standard Time, by the way. You never know.
You never
know.
Who's
gonna call in.
All right, guys. Later. Later.
see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us, we can make it if we try. Look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us, we can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two. Darling,